Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Continue for Truth Radio. We're going to have a great show this morning, as we always do. We're going to let Red Skelton open it up with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I went to the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Lasswell was his name. Mr. Lasswell. He says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge. Dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others, for all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools too?
We'll see you in the green room when the show is over. Appreciate that. Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Continuing for Truth Radio. This is Dan Wilson and I. We're doing our Saturday symposium as we do each week. We're going to have a shorter show this morning, so we'll try and keep things brief, get everything in. We got a lot to discuss this morning. But, you know, he gets me every time when he says, it's from the people to the leaders, not the leaders to the people. Because we got a current administration right now that just doesn't get that. Just really doesn't get that. You know, when John Adams asked Thomas Jefferson to write the Constitution, During that time, what they really, really were trying to get across was that we were going to be a nation of laws, not a nation of leaders. We weren't going to go back to the way things were under Britain, under King George, under the abominations that were going on at the time. You know, we fought that battle with a bunch of ragtag people, and we won. And we did it for certain reasons. And we did it for freedom. We did it to keep from crazy taxes overbearing us. We did it for taxation without representation. It was just time to cut it off. And we seem to be going back to that point right now, and it's really sad. You know, there's some big news right now going out there. And I didn't get to follow it a whole lot, Dan. I had a hectic day yesterday. I saw the article come up, but I didn't read it yet. But the ex-head of the FCC has basically said, you know, the government is trying to go in and control our news organizations, folks. That's the First Amendment. That's our basic rights. And I don't always agree with the news media. That is for sure. I really don't. They'll cover one thing and totally leave something out, and they're leftist. But boy, I will fight till the very end for their right to do the freedom to print what they want to print. Whether I agree with it or not, that's what the First Amendment is all about. The First Amendment isn't about because that working on the things that you agree with. The First Amendment was decided to work on the things you don't agree with. I don't always agree with my friends on the left and the things that they say, but boy, I will sure fight for their right to say it, no matter how wrong they are. That's what makes this country great. I stand here and I look at Ronald Reagan. Again, I mentioned that last Tuesday night, the statue of Ronald Reagan at Hillsdale College. He's turning over in his grave right now. Turning over in his grave right now. And it's kind of insane. So, Dan, I didn't really get to read through that article. Like I say, I had a crazy day yesterday, so I'm going to turn it back over to you. You've been on it. You've been posting on it. You've been writing on it. I'm going to turn it back over to you for a little bit to discuss it and kind of introduce, if our audience members don't know exactly what came about yesterday.
Well, what happened yesterday is I woke up and was thumbing through the Wall Street Journal. And I hear FCC wants to, Obama wants FCC to start going through what's being what programs are being posted on the news. And I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And I mean, so I started looking through it, what they say, their excuse is that they're doing a study on who listens in, and they aren't trying to take over control. But, I mean, we all know what the damn... what comes out every 4 months are they a posting. That's delivered to every radio and TV station that tells, you know, what kind of listenership they have. So it's a crock of baloney with what he's doing. But what you do, you know, once you get that first step in, you're not going to stop. And we already know he's full out on... the Second Amendment. He knows he can't take our gun rights away, but he can take purchase up all the ammunition. And that's what he's trying to do in that department. So he's trying to make a full tilt move that I'm afraid is going in a real bad direction. And if we have to start writing to our reps, everybody, and saying we don't want this. The FCC has no business over radio and TV, as in congressionally. If this has not been passed by Congress, it hasn't even been brought forth to Congress. Just like Common Core, he just did it. You know, we have three branches of government. We have it for a reason. for safeguards. And this president thinks that he's above the Constitution, and he can just go around and do whatever he damn well pleases. And it's partially our fault because we have a speaker who's so wishy-washy, he won't stand up. And we need somebody to stand up who's going to really take this administration on and say, the buck stops here. I mean, our first two amendments are our two most important. The freedom of speech, freedom of press, and freedom of religion. If we lose that, I mean, we've lost our freedom. And then...
Well, and Dan, that's what the left wants to take away is those free freedoms. They rely on those freedoms being gone in order to fully push their agenda. But, you know, I really happen to think, and I know I'm always overly optimistic sometimes. Sometimes I think, and it just never happens, and it totally shocks the living daylights out of me. But when the news media found out that the President of the United States and NSA was going after and listening to telephone conversations and so on and so forth with the news media and checking emails, they rebelled. And all of a sudden, they were just not so friendly at that point to this administration. And they haven't been since. They have been a whole lot harder on the administration. I think this is the next level up. And I really think that the news media totally drops Obama on this one. And I think they turn around and start really, really going after him. Because as left as they are, they value their freedoms. And I don't know that this isn't another totally messed up situation where they've stuck their foot in it. What do you think?
The media so far, other than Vox, MSNBC said that they agreed with it. Well, MSNBC will say they agree anything with Obama. But CNN hasn't said anything. CBS hasn't said anything. So, or ABC. So, I mean, and we know where Fox stands. Fox won't go for this. Not at all. We know that. So it's really up to the old three major networks, ABC, CBS, ABC and CBS. But right now we got a tie. I mean, I pray to God that, you know, they open their eyes and see what's happening. And every once in a while I see ABC and CBS print some things against Obama. So I'm hoping that will be enough to push them over the edge and say, okay, it's time to get rid of this guy. Because he's pushing it to the limit now. I mean, these first two amendments is everything to this country. I mean, the First Amendment takes away our ability to talk and to assemble. I mean, the First Amendment is the most important. And the
second,
is to be able to protect ourselves. If we lose those two, we've lost the rest.
Exactly. And that's why they're the First and the Second Amendments. And you know, Dan, this is a pattern, and I really wish the American people would really get it. Because it's a pattern that's not only blatant on things like this, but it's a pattern that's hidden inside the agenda of Obamacare and Common Core. With Common Core, what they did was a few years back, and if you'll remember, anybody in your district, you'll remember if you knew teachers, they were trying to encourage teachers that were older to retire. I had a good friend in Springville who was being urged to retire, and he did. He retired from teaching high school just about the same time they were going through Common Core. And I believe part of that purpose was to find more teachers that were supportive of it. Because at the time, what they were telling the teachers is don't mention this to the parents. They literally told the teachers not to talk about Common Core at all. Because they knew that the only way that they could get Common Core to the point where they got it is if nobody knew what was going on. And then all of a sudden, at the beginning of last year, we started finding it out. It was last March when I listened to Phyllis Schlafly interview Orlean Kaur, and I was shocked. I thought I'm one of the most connected people in the whole wide world when it comes to current events. I always know what's going on, and I had never even heard of Common Core. And as we got in and we dug in, we found out that part of the reason why was because the teachers, the schools, the principals, they weren't talking about it. They weren't mentioning that this major, the largest overhaul of our educational system in the history of our country was going on, and nobody was talking about it. Orlean Kaur told us that 5% of the country was all that knew what was going on. Now, it didn't take very long after that. Common Core's mistake, the people's mistake was creating C-Scope, really, because if you'll remember that C-Scope was what brought all this out into the open, because unlike Common Core, C-Scope presented their curriculum, and they presented the rules that the parents weren't allowed to see the computers, and they weren't allowed to see the curriculum here in Texas. And boy, Texas said, come and take it. and within 3 months later, C-Scope was basically neutered. There's still some lingering effects down there, and now they're trying back with Common Core here in Texas, and it's still, the fight is not over by a long shot. But C-Scope basically made the American people aware of what Common Core was and what they were trying to do. And we go through every single one of these issues, and they rely on suppressing our freedom of speech in order to accomplish the task. Our churches have to maintain insurance to make sure that they don't get sued when they say something in the pulpit about a fornication or adultery or homosexuality or any of these other politically correct things. Dan, so with that, I'll pass it back to you to comment on that. But, I think this freedom of speech thing underlies almost every issue the left is trying to take hold of. Sometimes it's blatant like this one, and sometimes it's subliminal like Common Core.
Right. Common Core started out totally behind the scenes. And it was so secret, Obama didn't even present it to Congress. This isn't even legal. This is constitutionally illegal. I mean, all Congress has to do really is stand up and say, uh-uh. And it would stop this damn thing all right in its tracks. Because you have to present it through Congress and pass through Congress and the Senate before something like this can become a law. And he didn't do it. He's sneaky. And, he's trying to buy states into using Common Core. And, he's like Florida, how he got Scott's vote. Is it guaranteed to buy a computer for every damn school district in the state with curriculum? So now you're saying, all of a sudden he was saying, no, we aren't going to write the curriculum. Well, then it's on the damn computers. So, yes, he is writing the curriculum. And then it turns out, so Scott changes his vote. And now, I'm screaming bloody murder and trying to get everybody else because, I'm telling the truth. It's nothing different than Hitler Youth. And as for taking away the First and the Second Amendment, Hitler said it, Mussolini said it, Stalin has said it. If you want to start a communist state, the first thing you do is take away the ability for people to defend themselves. Second thing you do is take the ability for people to talk to themselves. And that's exactly what this administration's doing. And, we're sitting down here screaming and Congress isn't doing a damn thing about it. And that's what's driving me crazy. You know, I was listening to one congressman on Fox the other day, and he was saying how they were going to do this and they were going to do that and yada, 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 you know, the same old baloney. And it's like, and then the announcer goes, what about a Slendra? And Slendra was 5 years ago. It was the first scandal that broke on, with Obama. You know, then what about his birth certificate? What about his, you know, attending Columbia? You know, nothing has been answered. The people have gotten not a single answer over anything. And it's like,
right.
What happened? You know, it's, and I'm blaming Boehner.
Amen.
You know, he's the biggest wuss on this earth. I mean, the guy's afraid of his own shadow. He wouldn't stand up to a fly.
He is, Dan. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in Reagan's 11th commandment. And I hate this situation we're in right now because the establishment has had to create a loophole for the 11th commandment. We don't have a choice but to come out and fight against our own. And I'm going to bring up his name, and he's supposed to give us a call in. He's on the road right now. Rodney Lee Conover, folks. We need 435 Rodney Lee Conovers in the House. Rodney Lee Conover will be the Ted Cruz of the House if you guys will just help us get him there. Because we do. We have got a group of Republicans in there, and I tend to think that they've been checking all kinds of emails, and they're blackmailing these guys at this point. But we've got a bunch on our own side who are fighting against the core, fighting against, you know, and they make fun of the Tea Party on talk radio and on the news. But let me tell you, Ronnie's got the best answer. He's asked, are you a Tea Party candidate? And Ronnie says, if it means I'm for lower taxes and less government control, I guess I am. And, you know, that's basically what the Tea Party is. But they've had to paint us, and our own are eating our own. And it only makes it worse for ourselves. We've got to get these guys out. We have to get these guys out if we're going to win this battle because they are not doing anything. We have got to get – man, we've got to get on them hard to get them back on the right track because they're following the line right with the other side. You know, Dan,
Exactly. We're
in the fight of our lives right now. And I'm a firm believer that there's a lot of protections we've got, one being the states. You can just do so much with the federal government before the states turn around and rise up, especially the sheriffs. And I think there's some things coming down the rope. I'm in a group of people that support Arpaio and that know Arpaio. And they have got the person that forged that birth certificate. The authorities have got the person that forged the birth certificate. And they're putting together the final straws of it right now. And in about March 14th, March 15th, all of the evidence is going to be released. And I'm a firm believer that Donald Trump has been waiting patiently because he's good friends with Arpaio to say anything. I don't think the news media can get around this one this time. Remember, Donald Trump was the one that made him provide this false birth certificate in the first place. Not only do they have one, they've got two. And I, you know, I was never one to say the president wasn't born in Hawaii. I was never one of those. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I've looked at the evidence, and one thing we do know for sure is that that birth certificate was forged, that Social Security number was forged, and his draft card was forged. And I'm a firm believer, I really am, Dan, that in the next couple of months, we're going to see the tides change. We're also seeing the tides change hugely subliminally. I got a good friend that works in the healthcare insurance industry. And I'm going to tell you, people all over the country are very, very unhappy right now. And my grandmother taught me one thing, very important thing. She taught me the word silent majority. The phrase, I should say, silent majority. And I'm going to tell you, it continues to get worse, Every single month, more people get their health insurance canceled. Every single month, more and more people are seeing the waits at the doctor's office. And I really believe by the time we get to November, we are set up right now to really take back the Senate, take another big, huge out of Congress, chunk out of Congress. But the thing is, folks, is if we're going to do that, we've got to do it with good people like Rodney Conover and not do it with more people like Boehner and Cork the Dork, Bob Corker, and George Lamar and Lamar Alexander in Tennessee. You know, just two examples of senators that are absolutely worthless who vote. We've got Paul Cook out in California, congressman. Great guy, man. A great guy. A veteran, a Marine, sweet guy. But he votes with Obama on almost everything that counts. We've got to get him replaced. We've got to get him replaced with Rodney Lee Conover. Because if we if we've got a bunch of R's in Washington, D.C., who are still voting with the president, that hasn't gotten us anywhere.
No.
But I'm going to tell you, folks, we got to keep on keeping on. We got to fight this battle. We're going to continue to fight this battle. I don't think it's over yet. I do believe we're going to win this one. I do believe we're going to win this one. But once we do, boy, we got to get vigilant. We got to shore up our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights, our Third Amendment rights, our Fourth Amendment rights. They're already there in the Constitution. They're already there. We've got a government that has run amok that's just ignoring it. And we've got to make consequences for when you do that, that are very specific, very laid out, and a way to let the American people know that's what's happening. Or slowly but surely, by baby steps, in 30, 40 years, we're not going to recognize this nation. Dan, I'll pass it back to you.
No, I agree. And what we're going to have to do is say that if the president tries to bypass Congress, like this one is, all the time, then we have to make that, like, give them a limit of 3 or 4 executive orders. And after that, no, you don't do this anymore. And if the president does it again, he has to be either impeached or brought up on some kind of charges and fined or something. And we're going to have to do the same thing with the attorney general. The attorney general is the person that's supposed to oversee a lot of this crap. You know, he's the head cop, and he hasn't done a damn thing either. Matter of fact, he sent, several hundred guns over to Mexico. And, yes, he should have been brought up on murder charges when that DEA agent was killed. You know, and the same thing with Clinton. You know, we had troops in place. Fast reactionary troops who could have been over there in less than half a day and could have stopped that whole attack on Benghazi. And she refused to do a damn thing about it. The president was awakened that night. And what did he do? He told the guys to leave him alone. He went to sleep and went on a campaign tour the next day. I mean, I think we might be having some problems with the computer today. Did you hear that, Scott?
No, I didn't.
It said 90 seconds.
Oh, we're at the end of the half an hour. We got 45 minutes. We got 15 minutes left in archive.
Oh, okay. And you know, it's turning around. To the point where, you know, our whole executive branch is not doing their job. You know, and as a matter of fact, they're going to the opposite. Rules of engagement over in Benghazi is you have to get shot first before you can shoot back. I mean, it's ridiculous. And, you know, people are letting this go. And sadly, you know, there are about half of our military is brainwashed into, you know, going along with Obama. Then the other half isn't. This will turn into a true civil war if we don't get this thing solved. Because this is going to split the country right down the middle. The problem is it's not going to have borders this time. And we're going to have to, I think we're going to have to all end up down south.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Waters.
Well, I was thinking Florida is a pretty good state because we can protect it better. They have to come
in. Well, and you know, Dan, that's why I'm also a firm believer that we've got to educate the American people. We've got to re-educate the American people. The American people have gotten lackadaisical, lazy, and they don't know what's going on for the most part. I would be willing to say if I walked through my neighborhood of this about 100 houses right here, I would say maybe 30 have ever even heard the term Benghazi because people just don't pay attention. And I believe that it's a twofold fight that we've got to fight. Number one, we got to get candidates like Rodney Lee Conover that will go out and help educate the public. They'll help educate the constituents. They're going to get out and talk about these things, explain to the American people exactly what's going on. And the number two side is the grassroots. The grassroots has got to quit singing to the choir, and we got to get out, and we got to talk to our neighbors. We got to talk to the people in the grocery store. We got to reach out to the people. We got to find ways to reach out to the people that don't pay attention to current events. People just don't watch the news anymore. You know, I love my mom dearly. My sister just pulled out a picture of my mom, her senior picture. I miss her dearly. She's been gone since January of 2001. But my mom was one of these people that did not want to know what was going on. She didn't like to watch the news. She voted, and she kept aware of who was running to a certain extent and voted, but she really did not keep up with current events. And we've got a bunch of people like that. Now, I'm also a firm believer that the people that are like that, there's a bunch of them waking up. Because I've got my sister who always listened to me yap on about politics. And when Common Core started, and when Obama became president, she started paying a little bit more attention. When Common Core started, she really started paying attention. And when she found out what Common Core was, she got active. And she keeps abreast of what's going on now. And I believe there's millions just like her out there right now. And it's growing. The movement's growing. That's why they're afraid of the Tea Party. That's why they're afraid of the grassroots. That's why they're afraid of some of these candidates that are willing to get out and do some things. But I think number one priority on our list has got to be educating the uninformed voter of exactly what's going on and exactly what they're losing. Because we have watched it over and over and over again. Folks, read the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Order the discs on Netflix if you have to. Get on YouTube and search the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. Greatest empire that ever stood. And it fell. And it fell for a lot of the same reasons why we're on the downhill spiral. And if you don't see, after watching the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire or reading the book, if you don't see the similarities, it should really scare you. But our basic problem now is we have gotten so comfortable. You know me, I'm going to take it right back to the Bible. Get in there and read the book of Judges. That's what the book of Judges is all about, that the Israelites, every time they got comfortable, every time things were going good, they got lazy. They got lazy. They forgot God. Things just, you know, people got spoiled. And pretty soon they found themselves back in bondage. And that has been the pattern of man since time began. You can look at it in exactly every single situation there was. You know, when 1620, when that Mayflower sailed, you know, Britain hadn't always been that way. Britain, there was not always the reason to leave Britain, but they had gotten that way. The people had gotten lackadaisical. They had allowed the government to make all their decisions for them. Pretty soon the government was telling them exactly how they had to worship, exactly how they had to think. So we got on that boat. The pilgrims and the strangers got on that boat, sailed for 2 months in horrid circumstances, 120 pair of shoes, and got off at Plymouth Rock and started America. And, folks, we've got to keep village, and I'll pass it back to you, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you. And if you ever saw the Mayflower, geez, I wouldn't trust that thing in my bathtub. I mean, and I'm talking as a, you know, former professional sailor. It was only 65 feet in overall length. And it was three decks, so it was way too top-heavy. Any type of bad wave hit, it should flip. I wouldn't trust that thing as far as I could throw it. And yet, you know, the pilgrims, they felt it that necessary to leave England. And, you know, beginning with King Henry VIII, is when he turned around and because he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn, decided to kick out the Pope and start the Church of England. And that was the beginning of the end of the freedoms. He basically tossed the Magna Carta out and said, this is the way it's going to be. And it took people leaving their country until they were willing to change back. Even now, they only went 50%. And if we lose this, you know, if we lose this battle, you know, everything our forefathers stood for and, you know, and sacrificed for, we're going to lose. We can't afford to lose that. I mean, this Constitution, by divine providence, was given to us for a reason. And we have to show to the world that even when we mess up, we're going to stand down and the Constitution is going to win out over a tyrannical government. And in some ways, I think this is a God-given thing, that God wants to show the world that, yes, we can beat tyrannical governments. It's a matter of getting the people together and standing up for what is right, and then demanding certain laws and certain inalienable rights that cannot be taken away by government. And we said that very, very clearly in the Declaration of Independence. And it even tells that, you know, it's not our obligation, it's our right, and it's our duty to stand up to a tyrannical government and stop this nonsense. And this president has crossed the boundaries. He thinks he can do anything he darn well pleases without any sort of opposition or any problem. Boehner said he's stepping down in November. It's not soon enough. We got to start today. And the grassroots people, they mean well, but they're lazy. They aren't getting out there on the street. I mean, I wish I was healthier. Because, you know, I'm so fed up. I'd like to run for damn Congress. But I don't think I'd live long enough. You know, it's gotten to that point. You know, if people like me and, you know, you can do this, then damn everybody else can. And, you know, they got to get off their duffs, get out there, talk to their neighbors, do the exact same thing we did, in 1770, and say, listen, what are they doing to us? They're taxing us. They're taxing us without representation. They're taking over, they're turning it into a police state, and they are not even, you know, everything we do is being watched over by the British. They march through our streets. They shoot our people. And, you know, it's getting to that point now. We haven't quite reached the threshold, but I'll tell you this much. You know, Barb and I talked about this, and I don't like guns, but I went out and bought one. Because, by God, you are not going to take my country away from me. And I will not allow that. And, you know, we got to get everybody out there and understand where we are right now. We aren't just, a little bit beyond the edge. We're right up to the edge. And these next two elections are going to decide the fate of this country. And back to you, Scott.
Well, amen, Dan. And, you know, and I believe we're going to do it. I really do. We're seeing the tide turning in so many ways. We've got about 2 minutes left, I think. We want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Great discussion, Dan. As always, we go back to history. We haven't yet gone to the summer of 1787 yet, so I'm going to take us there. Those men worked very, very hard for those 2 months in that windowless room with the doors locked. In very hot circumstances to write our Constitution. Worked very, very hard to guarantee us some basic freedoms, to basically limit the federal government from its abilities and pass those on to the states. The left has always had the notion and understanding that they cannot accomplish what they want to accomplish if that holds true. So it's as basic as that, people. It really does. It all comes down to that. That's why the Republican side, the conservative side, believes in states' rights, believes in limited government, because that Constitution that guarantees your freedoms is based on that. And the only way for the left to win their ideals is to squash that. That's why we are seeing right now a huge disrespect for the Constitution, a huge ignoring in many ways of the Constitution, and a real fight to continue to take away our freedoms. And history just bears that out. Ladies and gentlemen, over the next week, we've got a show on Tuesday. Dan and I will join with Jennifer Montrose, and we will have a great discussion on Tuesday on Parental Sovereignty Radio. And don't ever forget, Friday at Ladies Bible Class, 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time, 1:30 Florida time, where we will sit down at the table and continue to wander through the Old Testament. We want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Thank you, Dan. It was great conversation. You keep up on this FEC thing. We're going to win this battle. I'm a firm believer that the news media, when it all comes down to it, is going to rise up at this point. We watched them do it when the White House and the administration started trampling on their rights by spying on them and their emails and in their phone calls. They did not like it. And we've seen a tone change in the news media because of it. I believe we're going to see an even bigger tone change throughout this one. So we want to thank everybody. We're going to put some, I think we've got maybe 30 seconds left, 40 seconds left. Just, instead of it just cutting me off, we're going to do some keep on keeping on.
Just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can't get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Always saying what you cannot. it is.